Hello, and welcome to the BTG Podcast. I am your host, Jen Fable, of BTG Wellness and LiveLifeUnbroken.com. BTG stands for Bridge the Gap, and it is inspired by my own healing journey. After receiving 7 different mental health diagnoses by the age of 19, I quickly realized that there was a massive gap between what I believed and understood in my head and what I truly felt in my heart. And no matter how many therapists I went to, I couldn't seem to bridge that gap until I found the tools and information that I share in my one-on-one private sessions, trainings, and right here on this podcast. My goal is to help you begin to bridge that gap by bringing you different topics related to mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. And in case you didn't know, this podcast is recorded live during my weekly Zoom virtual healing circles. These are weekly virtual gatherings that are 100% free, and no RSVP is required. So you are welcome to come whenever you can and stay as long as you want. Each week, we open the space with a candle meditation, after which I will share with you my favorite grounding practices and lead you through a circle casting, guided meditation, and breath work, followed by a soul-inspiring gratitude practice. If you are interested in learning more about how you can continue your journey and experience my virtual healing circles in real time, please visit www.btgwellness.com/circle and join my free circle membership. Of course, if you like what you hear in today's episode, please remember to leave a review and share the love by sharing this episode with your friends, family, and social network. And as always, if you have any questions, please know you can always reach out to me through my website at www.btgwellness.com or through email or social media. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Virtual Healing Circle. With me, Jen Fable of BTG Wellness and LiveLifeUnbroken.com. And tonight, I'm really excited to talk to you about how to create your own sacred space and why you'd even want to. Last time we talked about altars, about a space that is 100% yours, that you have full creative control over, that represents the macrocosm in micro form and in a way that your neurology can hook into. Now that we've claimed our space in the universe, so what? Now what? This is where a sacred space comes into play. So I'm really excited to talk to you about this tonight. So why is this important? This is important because we all need a space to unwind and unplug. And we think this means having, you know, a she shed or a man cave or some place that takes a lot of money. And it's one place and one place alone. If we can't get to that one place, we can't find ourselves. So knowing how to make a space for us to fit into the world, to take a moment to catch our breath, to reconnect in back with who we are. It's really important. This is important because knowing how to bring this element of sacredness, I don't know if that's a word, but we're making it one tonight, bringing that into your life, it's a powerful sign to the universe. We all like to put affirmations on our mirror that say, I am worthy, but are you living your worthiness? And this is important because having a place that is safe for you to explore who you are is really key for your growth and your healing. Knowing how you want to show up in the world means you have to explore how you want to show up in the world, which means you need space where you can contemplate things like this. So what is it that makes a space sacred? What do I mean when I'm talking about a sacred space? So it is your intention that creates a sacred space. It has nothing to do with the decorations, has nothing to do with how much money you spend on it. Any place, anywhere, anytime can be a sacred space. Just like the creation of your altar, it is your intention that drives this type of creation. Any space that you use with the intention of connecting more deeply with yourself is, by definition, a sacred space. There's nothing more sacred than connecting with the energy and truth of who we are. So a sacred space is about creating a container to hold that energy in, to create a space that you feel safe enough to let down all your guards, to be the fully messy human that you want to be, to let out all your dark bits. That's what makes a space sacred. A space is sacred when we engage with it on all levels of our being. Just walking into a space, sitting down in the lotus position, closing your eyes and hoping that you can reach Zen doesn't work. You haven't set up the space to support it. So a sacred space is anywhere that we are interacting with it on the mental layer of reality, on the emotional layer of reality, on the physical, and on the energetic. So any space becomes sacred when you practice the same type of intentions over and over again, when you have different rituals that take place in it, whether a ritual means that you always make the same cup of tea, whether ritual means you always play the same type of music, wear the same type of clothes. When you do this over and over again, you infuse the space with the intentions of all the practices that have taken place in it. And over time, that creates the space as sacred. So why would you want a sacred space? A sacred space becomes a place where you can take a step back, where you can call time out, where you can press pause, where you can catch your breath, where you can find you again and the part of you that knows the best parts of you. We talk about this idea of, I shine my light so bright, I ignite the light in others. Well, we have to take a moment, take a space where the focus is on shining our light. A sacred space is any space that you set up with the intention of discovering, of investigating, of exploring your own light, so that you can shine it so bright that it ignites the light in others. Having a space where you can focus 100% on yourself, to be supremely selfish, is the ultimate sign that you're living your worthiness. It doesn't take a lot of effort to stand in front of a mirror and say, I am worthy. But to take a moment, to set an intention, to use your senses to craft a space where you can connect with you, that's living your worthiness. That's putting your knowledge into action in your own life and in your growth. It's also really important to have a space where you can be 100% human and messy and emotional and dark. We're human beings. Sometimes our brains are a little dark. Having a space that you've set up with the intention of exploring all of you creates a safe container for you to explore all of you. We spend so much of our daily life trying to force ourselves into the land of love and light. A sacred space is a place where you give yourself permission to explore the dark. Everyone talks about, I'm doing shadow work, but where? Where are you doing shadow work, and how deep can you actually go if you haven't set up a space, a container, to hold that type of work? So a sacred space is about creating a place where you're allowed to explore the dark spaces so that you can bring it into the light. So creating a sacred space is about creating a place where you're allowed to be all of who you are, even the parts you're still trying to like. Now, we talked last time about this idea of as above, so below, this idea that everything inside of us is mirrored outside of us in the universe beyond us, and vice versa. That everything that we notice within our bodies, notice within our psyche, has a reflection and ripple effect within the world outside of us. This means that when we create a space with the intention of connecting with ourselves, of connecting with our worthiness and living that worthiness, then not only are we creating that in our world outside of us, in our sacred space, but because of as above, so below, as without, so within, that gets reflected inside of us and we start to pull that worthiness inside our being. It's really powerful. So how do you actually go about creating this sacred space? What types of ingredients do you need to create this type of place in your life? Well, just like the creation of your altar, it's really quite simple. You want to use your intention because that's really what guides this process. You want to allow your imagination to run wild. You want to engage with all your senses, but you can do that in any way possible. Your imagination is the only limit to what can go into your sacred space. And then, of course, you want to follow your intuition. It doesn't feel right to you on any level, doesn't look right, sound right, doesn't make sense to you, leave it out of that space. As long as you set the intention, as long as you use your imagination, as long as you follow the intuition, your sacred space will be exactly what it's meant to be. Now, I mentioned this idea of interacting with a space on as many levels as possible, and a lot of us tend to try to ignore the physical layer of reality when we want to meditate. We think that the whole role of meditation is to somehow forget that we have this gross meat skeleton that we have to drag around all day so we can find Zen and live in love and light. However, this meat skeleton is part of who we are. And we can use it to engage with our environment through all five of our sensory channels to help elevate us to move through those other realms to connect with the energy around us. Now, because your sacred space is meant to be a physical container to hold the energy that you have in this reality, so you can then reach up into that quantum field of potential and manifest whatever it is you want, it's really helpful to engage with that physical reality by activating as many of the senses as possible. Use sound, use light, use smell, use sacred herbs, use salt. I'm going to talk about each one of these a little more. What's really cool is when you use all of your senses, you start to create what are known as anchors. What does that mean? So the idea of anchors was first studied by Ivan Pavlov back in 1927, when he talked about conditioned reflexes and conditioned behavior. You may have heard of the experiment. He took a dog and he presented it with a steak. And he noticed that every time he presented the dog with a steak, the dog would salivate. And so he made a little note in his book, steak equals salivation. Then on a separate occasion, he had the dog and he rang a bell. And he noticed that the dog didn't really seem to care about the bell. And so he wrote down bell equals not really that exciting. And then for a period of time, he would present the steak to the dog and ring the bell at the same time. Until eventually he noticed that all he had to do was ring the bell and the dog would salivate. The bell became an auditory anchor for an actual physiological response of salivation. So the definition of an anchor is, if at the height of an intense emotional response, a physical stimulus is applied, the two become linked neurologically. Anchors are something that we have in our world everywhere. If I show you a picture of a red octagon, you know to stop. If I say, da 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 da. How many of you wanted to go da 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 da? It's an auditory anchor. So we have anchors all around us all the time. Making up a sacred space for ourselves means infusing it with as many positive anchors as possible. So that just walking into the space gives you a feeling of in your body because you've set it up that way. The more that you repeat different rituals, the more that you repeat different actions, the more that you expose yourself to this anchor at the same time that you're in a happy place physiologically, the more they become linked. So the first time you play that song and you sit and meditate, maybe not much happens. And the second time, maybe not much happens. And over time, your body learns that that song, that sound, that smell, that texture, means it's time to relax. So setting up a sacred space is about infusing it with as many anchors as possible. So let's go through these. So one, you can use sound to create anchors in your space. Those of you in Healing Circle have experienced that before we do any kind of meditation, I bring out my Tibetan singing bowl. Over time, if you've been to Circle enough, you know that as soon as you hear that sound, your body starts to settle in. That's an auditory anchor. In addition, sound is a great way to cleanse a space. So sound waves are actual waves of energy that get processed by our ears and then get translated by our brains into what we hear. But they are waves of energy. Waves interact with waves in very predictable ways, where the top of one wave, when it hits the bottom of another, can actually cancel it out. What this means is that when you ring a Tibetan singing bowl in a room, on the energetic level, you have changed the structure of the air molecules because this new sound wave has interrupted what other waves are already there. So not only does sound act as an anchor, not only does it start to tell your body it's time to focus on you, it also starts to cleanse the space. So you can cleanse the space and you can use auditory anchors using a Tibetan singing bowl. You can use little tingsha bells, the little tiny bells that you smack together. You can use crystal bowls. Wind chimes are lovely for anchoring a space or for changing the energy. If you're like, I don't got the money for all that stuff, you can just clap your hands. Walk around the room clapping your hands, saying, this is my space, get out, I want this for me. That's enough to declare the space with your intention and make it sacred. Drumming is a wonderful use of sound. Drumming creates some really nice anchors auditorily. And then, of course, singing and chanting. There's a reason that if you walk into a room and a certain type of music is playing, your body responds. So you can use sound to start to make your space your own, to make it a place where it's safe for you to connect to you. You can use the sense of smell, such as essential oils, smudging. We'll talk about that more in a moment. Incense. I also really love resin. It's great because it comes in this great big bag. It looks like little rock sugar. And if you put it on top of a charcoal disc, which you can also buy, which has been lit and gets all nice and hot, then the resin burns. And unlike incense, it doesn't leave like dirt everywhere. And it's safer than candles because it's not an open flame. So I really love using my resin. So using scent in your environment starts to tell your brain that this space is special. Most religions use scent in some way. And the reason is because, unlike your other senses, the sense of smell doesn't get processed by your logical mind. It goes through unfiltered. That's why the sense of smell is so powerful. You ever have it where you smell someone's perfume and it takes you right back to the day you first smelled it? Or you smell something baking and it takes you right back to your childhood? Auditory anchors are great, but olfactory smell anchors are really powerful. Really powerful. So using the sense of smell in your space starts to tell your neurology it's time to focus on you. So I mentioned this idea of smudging. Smudging is the use of different herbs that are bundled together and then lit to smoke. You then use that smoke to clear the space. A lot of times when you burn these different herbs, they've actually found that they create an antimicrobial effect in the environment. So not only do they get rid of the oogity boogity bad vibes, they actually make the environment safer and cleaner. Now, before we had microscopes, we just knew that burning these sacred herbs made a space safer. And so this tradition lives on. Each herb has different intentions already embedded into it, just based on how they've been used in the past. That being said, your intention is the most powerful force that you have, so you can use your own guidance and intuition. As a quick little cheat sheet, if you were to use white sage is really good for cleansing and purification. Little side note, just a warning, it does smell a little bit like marijuana when it's burned, so be cautious about if you're in buildings. It will also set off fire detectors. So if you have like a landlord, they're going to think that you've been having a little bit more fun than you probably were having with the white sage. So be cautious when burning the white sage. Cedar is really lovely. It's very grounding. If you have any cedar hedges around you, you can pull some off, dry them, and then bundle them with some twine and make your own little smudge stick. Palo Santo is a wood, has a wonderful smell. For a long time, I used that to cleanse my space, nice and handy and portable. And then mugwort is really great to clear out negative energy, and apparently it's very helpful in inducing lucid dreams. Lucid dreams are dreams where you know you are dreaming. So you can smudge a space to start to make it sacred. Another great thing that you can do to start to bring some sacredness into a space, start to infuse it with your intention, is to use something called black salt. You can buy black salt. You can make black salt. If you want to make it, it's just literally any kind of salt. Most people prefer some sort of a sea salt, or rock salt, or Himalayan. Mixed with charcoal, a lot of us use the little bits left over after our charcoal tablets burn when we do our resin smudging. Wood ash, so if you did any kind of a fire release or you burned anything and you want some ash in there, and some people like to add a little bit of black pepper. You take that, grind it all up, and then you can actually sprinkle that in the four corners or in a circle around your space to start to make it sacred. The benefit of this, again, portable, cheap, easy. Downside is you're going to have salt all around your floor. So if you don't like that, this might not be the one for you. So how to actually start to establish a sacred space. Of course, your intention is what drives it. There is no right or wrong way to do this. And if you're looking for some ideas, here's what I like to do. Step one, bubble and ground yourself. Find some way to connect in with Mother Earth. So in the next healing circle, next episode of the podcast, we're going to be talking about grounding and why that's so important to any kind of practice, let alone spiritual practice. So doing something that gets you back inside your body, out of your head. I like to then clear my space using either sound or something with a scent. I love burning frankincense. That is a smell that really speaks to my heart. Lighting candles is a great way to start to establish a space as sacred. Just the act of placing candles around and lighting them helps set a very powerful intention. Music is a powerful way to create some anchors in your space. So I always like to use the exact same songs when I set up my space. Some people like to wear different ritual cloaks or special clothing. That's up to you. You can change the lighting, make it lighter, make it darker. Using essential oils, either on yourself or diffused in the space, or any kind of special scent that's meaningful to you that you use only when you want to do some work for yourself and connect in. So that creates that nice, strong anchor. And then, of course, mixing colors and textures, fabrics, furniture. Now, if you think this has to be complicated, it can be, or it can also be really simple. Just like your altar, it could be something that is portable. It could be something that is permanent. It could be something that is elaborate. It could be something as simple as just staring at a picture on a wall on a cushion. Your intention is what creates a space as sacred. Your repetition of the same actions, creation of a ritual for yourself, is what starts to create those anchors in your neurology. So that eventually just walking into that space or just being in the presence of certain smells is enough to let your body know it's time to connect back into you. So some key concepts to remember. Remember that a sacred space is defined by the intention you infuse into it, which means the sky is the limit in how you use and dedicate this space. It also means that you cannot screw this up. Remember that knowing how to make any space you're in sacred allows you to find safety and connection no matter where you go. You can create a sacred space in a hotel room when you travel. I've done it in a bathroom in the airport because I was on the go and had no choice. Obviously, the more repetition that you have in a space, the more anchors you create, and you can then take those on the go. So if I use the same essential oil each time I connect with myself, I can then go out somewhere, put that essential oil on, and make a little sacred space for myself anywhere in the world. Knowing how to do that means that you feel safe anywhere in the world. And remember that your intention is the key. The more you flood a space with sensory input that's related to your intention, the more you pair that essential oil, the more you pair that smudge, the more you pair that sound with your intention, the more your neurology starts to see them connected, and the more you actually create that connection in the universe. And as always, I want to remind you to decide you want it more than you're afraid of it. For some people, the idea of knowing that you can't get it wrong and the sky is the limit is a little scary. So I'm not sure where to start. So just decide you want it more than you're afraid of it. And that's always the decision that will take you to the next step. And as always, if you have any questions about anything from tonight's circle or podcast, please know you can always reach out to me through either of my websites, either btgwellness.com or livelifeunbroken.com or through email or through social media.
So when I was listening to you and about the sacred space, for some reason, I was, you know, going back through my life and through my past relationships, and like one person, like, you know, we would be in the same bed together and I could only sleep when he snored. I fell asleep to the rhythm of a snore, you know, and like things like that. And then I was thinking to myself about sacred space and being 49 years old now and knowing now what I wish I knew then. I'm wondering what you would think of having separate bedrooms as partners.
So it really depends on what you want and what your intention is. So while society can say whatever it says, if both people in the relationship are like, I kind of want my own space, then it's perfectly valid. But that requires us to know what we want, which requires us to have a space where we can explore what we want. And that might be a space that is yours and yours alone. No one ever goes into it. It might be a shared space. What makes something sacred is the intention to connect back in with yourself so that you can know what you want, so that you can be able to then speak that want out loud to your partner, to anyone else in your life, and say, hey, no, during my meditation yesterday, I came to this realization that I think I would be a lot happier in this relationship if I had my own bedroom. If I knew that when you got really loud and snory, I could escape. And then when you're quiet, I can come and snuggle. But that requires me to know myself. That requires me to know how to express myself in a way that's healthy and that creates connection. And most of us have a lack of skill set at one or more of those points on the journey. Right? Most of us don't know what we want. Most of us don't know how to get our needs met in a healthy way. Most of us will judge ourselves or yab at ourselves versus speaking up and saying, hey, I want my own room. Or we'll feel threatened when our partner doesn't agree and then we have to have a discussion about it. So maybe we back down or we fight, right? So there's a lot of different places in there, and having a space where you can just take a time out from the lifiness of life to set the intention of, okay, I want to connect with me, and then actually connect with yourself has to be the first step. Knowing how to know what we want, knowing how to get our needs met in a healthy way is easy. We're just not taught it. We're not taught this idea of having a space that supports a focus on ourselves. If anything, we're taught that that's selfish, or that you have to make sure that it's Pinterest perfect. Thou shalt have a Pinterest perfect space. It has to be a she shed and has to be this. And like, that's a lot of time and effort. And a lot of us think that if we don't have the money or we don't have the time to invest in creating this spectacular Pinterest worthy space, that we can't connect with ourselves. But if you every week at the same time or every day at the same time lit the same incense stick, sat in front of your altar, played the same music, and just stared at it or just contemplated it, that's enough to start to create some anchors for yourself. It doesn't have to be this complicated thing. Now, mine has evolved into about a 15-minute process at this point. I can hoof it through and do it faster, but I can also do it slower. But it's about 15 minutes. And it starts with using some... I like burning resin. Smudge sticks are great, and the little herbs make a mess and leave ashes all over the place. And so my inner anal retentive person is like, gross. So I like the resin because it's cleaner. And I can buy a big honking bag of it on Amazon. It lasts for a million years. So I will first cleanse the space with resin, and I stand in each of the four directions, and I say out loud, I cleanse and claim the space to the east. And then I walk to the south, and I say, I cleanse and claim the space to the south. And I do this in a circle until I've done all the different directions. And then I say, I cleanse all space in between. And I allow the smoke to infuse all the spaces. And then I say, I cleanse myself. And I allow the smoke to infuse around me. That's step one, right? That used to be all I did, and that was enough. And over time, I've learned different things, and it's kind of gotten more involved, right? I do all of this before I even go near any candles to manifest. Before I go near any kind of, well, I don't do vision boards, but someone who's doing a vision board, do it in a place where you've already set it up to support the work you want to do. Otherwise, the energy is whatever it is. You have no control over it.
Hi. Touching on something you said about cleansing, I guess, after you've lit whatever you're going to be burning, cleansing yourself, is there an actual process, and you might have touched about on this in one of your other circles of healing, but process of doing, I don't know, like actually cleansing yourself with something that's burning or otherwise?
So there's a lot of different ways to do it, and none of them are right or wrong. Some people, so you can cleanse yourself with sound. So just having some tincture bells that you kind of ding around yourself. You can do it with some sort of a smudge stick or some resin. I usually just hold it in front of me, and then I use a feather to wave the smoke in different areas. Some people like to, it looks like you're washing your face with the smoke. So you light something and then you take the smoke and you bring it towards you with your hands. And some people kind of like they're washing their face or washing their body with the smoke. So really you get to explore, and I always kind of follow my intuition. Some weeks I do it, I think actually tonight I did it like washing my face style before I went, and I did it with a feather. Not usually, but that's what I was guided to tonight. So your intention is what infuses the space, and then your imagination is the only limits, and it's your intuition that's kind of that guide in which way to go. So if you're like, I feel guided to use white sage and just kind of swing it around my head, beautiful. Yeah, there's really no wrong way to do it, and you get to, it'll evolve over time the more you do it and become truly your own thing.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure. Cool question. Yeah, music and smell are some of the greatest ways you can start to create anchors in your environment. And the more you do them over and over again, in the same way, what we call a ritual, the more you cement these anchors in your neurology. So that at some point, all you have to do is smell the bergamot and feel your heart open, or smell the cedar and feel yourself grounded, or smell the frankincense and know it's time to connect with yourself. So getting as many senses involved is really powerful. And if it starts with, I think I started with, like I said, an incense stick. I believe I waved it around the room and said, it's my space, get out. That's a good enough intention. That's a good enough intention. It doesn't have to be pretty and poetic. As you do it, you might find little poetry things. Mine's gotten kind of prettier over time. But at the beginning, literally just an incense stick that I liked. What's it called? Dragon's blood. It smells really nice and sounds badass to say that you're burning dragon's blood. So I like to, I would just literally just wave that around the room and say, okay, this is my space. I clean it. And then I would kind of wave it in front of my face and be like, okay, I cleansed myself. And that was enough to start. That was enough to start. Okay? It doesn't have to be this big elaborate thing. It's your intention to connect with yourself. And then just all these anchors in your environment to solidify the intention in your neurology. Add in a little brain hack to make it more powerful for yourself. Thank you again for joining me for this episode of the BTG podcast, which stands for Bridge the Gap, with me, Jen Fable. Remember, if you want to experience my virtual healing circles in real time, visit www.btgwellness.com/circle. And of course, if you have any questions at any time, please know you're always welcome to reach out to me through social media or through my websites at btgwellness.com or through my coaching website, livelifeunbroken.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.